All right, Deuteronomy chapter number 16 is our text tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 16. We have been making our way through the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday night. We started a series entitled Things to Remember. And this has been a tremendous blessing as we have been watching Moses through the leadership and the direction and the help of God and the communication of God prepare the nation of Israel to how they are to live and move and act when they get into the promised land. And you know that Moses himself will not enter into the promised land. Joshua will take them over. When you get to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is with the Lord. But God is using him to prepare this second generation that came out of Egypt so that they would know the blessing of God when they got into the promised land. He uses a phrase, he'll even use it again tonight in our text, that they may live. God wanted them to live. God wanted them to live as his people. God wanted to be their God. He wanted to use them to show the world how great God is. And he wanted to love them and bless them and multiply them and do all of that. God chose them. And they were the apple of his eye and a chosen people unto him. And so this would be a different type of land that they were used to as they were crossing over into the promised land after spending 40 years into the wilderness, coming out of the bondage of Egypt. And we've been looking at this journey and we've been looking at how Moses is preparing them. And even though this was thousands of years ago, there is present day application in our life. And that really and truthfully, it may not be, the application may not be unique as far as the individual behavior, but the truths are the same. And so really and truthfully, the spiritual application of Israel going into the promised land is like you and I living in the spirit-filled life. Them coming out of Egypt and that bondage was a picture of their redemption. God brought them out that he may bring them in to the promised land. And so when God redeemed you and the Spirit of God indwelt you, by the way, the Bible says if the Spirit of God is not in you, then you are not of God. You're not belong to God. If the Spirit of God is in you, say amen. Amen. I hope and pray you know that. The Spirit of God enters in you at the moment of being born again. It is the presence of the Spirit of God in your life that enables you to know the Spirit-filled life and the fullness of the Spirit of God. And so as I got saved, when I got saved, the Spirit of God indwelt me, and he will never leave me. However, there is the filling of the Spirit. The Bible uses that word, be filled with the Spirit. It's controlled with the Spirit. There is that in which the leadership of the Spirit of God that I'm submitted to in my life, his voice, the Word of God, the direction there, that the fruit of the Spirit, therefore, is able to have full and free reign in my life. And so as I'm saved and the Spirit of God enters into me, then because of the Spirit's presence, I have the wonderful ability and joy to enjoy the Spirit-filled life. And once you get a taste of the Spirit-filled life, you don't want any other life, to be honest with you. And what a joy and what a delight it is. And so as God was given the nation of Israel statutes and a directive in which they were to live in that promised land, then God also, through the Spirit of God, brings to us a way in which we are to live our lives. And the victory of the promised land for the nation of Israel was really and truthfully attributed to them by faith. And this was a land where they were to believe and trust and walk with God. God promised them he would care for the land. He would provide for the land. He would bless them. He would do all that. He just wanted them to trust him by faith. And it was faith that was the victory. It's always been faith that has been the victory that overcomes the world. You and I, as we live in the Spirit-filled life, we also will know the faith life. And so what God wants for us is God wants for us to walk by faith, not by sight. God said that without faith, it is impossible to please him. God said that the just shall live by faith. All right. So the way that the really truthfully, the Christian life or the Spirit-filled life is only possible because of the Spirit of God, and the victory in the Christian life is really appropriated through the enablement and the power of the Spirit of God. But as I trust Him by faith, so as God is teaching them these statutes through these unique things like the Sabbath and others, then these truths remain true for us as well. And so far, we've dealt with the statute of worship, holiness, tithing, faith. Last week was, thank you. Who are you? Who remembered the lesson from last week? Was that you, Cherry? Yeah, God's going to bless you richly this week with that good memory. Everybody else was like, huh, was I here last week? What in the world? I can't remember, Pastor. Gratitude, okay? And so I may touch more on that lesson on Sunday. So come, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 18. Our text tonight will go from Deuteronomy 16, 18, all the way down to 17, verse number 13. In verse number 18 of chapter 16, the very first word says, judges. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with, say those two words, just judgment. Just judgment. And so tonight, the statute that Moses is introducing to them in our sixth statute is the statute of justice. And I want you to write that down, whether you write it down in your memory or write it down in your notes. And God is consumed and God cares about justice. Now, justice is a word we're hearing a lot about these days, especially if you're paying any attention to the NFL and you're listening to the voice of these NFL players and you hear about injustice and social justice and this type of justice. And I want you to know that not only is justice important to humanity, but justice is important to God. Go, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Hold your hand here. Just go later, or further into the book, and I'll show you why it is important to God. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are, say that word please, judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. What's the next word? Just and right is he. When we talk about justice, you will find the epitome of justice is Jesus Christ. And you will find that as you read the Bible, that God is just. He has always been just. He is just now, and he will always be just. God is just when you don't think he is just. God is just when you don't understand what God is doing. God is just when the devil tells you he is not. And I submit to you that you had better know in your heart as a Bible-believing Christian, God can never be unjust. Ever. Ever. And because he is just, God desires justness and justice for his people. And so as the nation of Israel is getting ready to move into the promised land, a land that God owns, God is giving them and preparing them, and he's letting them know that justice matters to him. He wants them, if you come back, if you would, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Look, if you would, at verse number 20. He says, that which is altogether just shalt thou, say this word, that word, follow. So God himself is just. The land they are going to is just. The word they're going upon is just. And God wants for his people to be just as well. And he wants justice to be that which they follow in their life. He wants it to be the theme of the nation. He wants it to be the glory of the land. He wants it to be the directive of their life. And so one of the ways that he's exampling this, and also another way that he's setting this up, is he's going to give them government, and he's going to set up a government, which you find in verse number 18. The judges and officers shalt thou make in all thy gates. If you wanted to find the word for gates, it's the word towns. He's working on this local government, and he says, I want you to set these judges and these officers, which the Lord thy God give thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. And so he wants justice to be the theme of the land. He understands humanity. By the way, the reason God understands humanity is because God created humanity. God understands sinful nature. God understands the heart and mind of a man. Only God understands that. And so God knows that he wants the theme of that land to be just. He understands that there's sinful people moving into that. And yet God is, he knows that there's going to have to be the directive of this. So he sets up this government to help and enable and keep them on the path of justness. And he's setting up a leadership in this and their government, and wants these leaders to provide a just decision, a just judgment, and a just direction for the nation. And by the way, I think we ought to pray for our nation that our leadership knows justice and just judgment. I think justice is a beautiful quality in a person's life. Righteous judgment. Holy judgment. I want to ask you a question. I know you're just when you're born again, right? We're made just. God is the justifier of men. We believe that. But are you a just person? Is just judgment a quality that you possess? Do you look at yourself as a person who has just judgment, good judgment, righteous judgment, a person who's honest? You're honest in your business affairs. You're honest in the way you organize things. You're honest in your thought process. You could be called a person who acts justly. By the way, Micah, later in the Old Testament, when it was required, when exposed, but what God requires of a man, he wanted him to do justly. Now, I submit to you, if you're going to do justly in the sight of God, you have to be justified first. Okay? You need to understand that. Most people want to compare their justness to humanity, when really and truthfully, justness is compared to the judgment of God or the word of God. God here is the legislature. God has set the laws for the nation, and God's wanting these leaders to help guide the nation in the justness of this direction, these laws. Look how important this is, if you would please. If you go to verse number 20, he says, that which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest, say that word, live. This is how important this is to God. And so he set up this and is using these leaders. Pastor, I understand that leadership ought to be just, but I'm not necessarily a leader. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a single person. I'm in college. I'm a 9-to-5 kind of guy. I mean, I'm not really... I'm just more of the workforce than more of the leadership. Hold your hand here. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everybody needs to see 1 Corinthians chapter 6 so I can make this very practical in your life. And so when you leave here, you would tonight, that you will understand your responsibility to do justly, to love justice. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. Dare any of you, this is Paul writing, to the church, having a matter against another, go to law before the, what's that word? Unjust. And not before the saints. I don't know if you know this or not, I'll just put this out there. The Bible is against a Christian taking another Christian to court. I'll say that again. The Bible is against another Christian taking or Christian taking another Christian to court. Pastor, does it happen? Happens all the time. A lot of things the Bible's against happen all the time. Pastor, what if somebody commits a crime against me? Well, the law is for the lawbreaker, and they should. But there are some civil matters. Paul says, why in the world, Malcolm, who's a brother in Christ, if you've got a civil problem with Tom, why would you take me to a court of unsaved people to figure this out? Matter of fact, God would say, I'm against that. Amen. Pastor, what if it's just small claims? Okay. Please tell me you've never taken another Christian to court. That's against God's word. Well, Pastor, if I can't take them to court, where would I take them? Oh, I was hoping you would ask that. Let's keep going. And to the grave is not the other option. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Who are the saints? The church. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Fascinating. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the, say that word, church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. He goes on to talk about how they should suffer the wrong. That's another message for another time. So Paul says, he gives this example. He's helping this church at Corinth, and they've got all these problems. And one of their problems is they've got church members suing church members over matters that pertain to this life, and they're trivial. And Paul says, let me get this straight, fellas. I got two Christian people, and you got a problem, and you're going to go to an unsaved, unjust court. Men, and you're going to let them, why wouldn't you just take it to your church people and let them figure it out? Wow. I don't know that you trust me or I trust you like that. But we ought to be trustworthy. And then he says this, the least esteemed person in that church has more wisdom than the judge on the bench. Huh? How in the world, Pastor, does the least esteemed person in the church have more wisdom than the judge on the bench? Because the least esteemed person in the church ought to be submitted to the word of God. And you ought to be able to take the word of God and present somebody their fault. There ought to be a humbleness. There ought to be a forgiveness. There ought to be. Now, does that happen that way? No, a lot of things in the Bible don't happen the way, but that's how God wants them to be. Why do you say this, Pastor? Because here's what I want to say. I don't care who you are. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you ought to be a person of just judgment. You ought to have wisdom. You ought to be somebody that is able to have understanding. You ought to be somebody that's able to know justice in your life. I think about a single mom. I think about a mother who stays home. I think about a dad in the home. I think about a single person. Every single day of our lives, we have to make decisions and execute and make decisions around judgments and justices and where we're going to stand with these kind of things. And God's people ought to make decisions based off of God's word. Amen. Now, I have a unique position as being the pastor. And a unique position as the pastor And I mean this as kindly as I possibly can say it, but I get to watch people make stupid decisions. Right. And even I'm guilty sometimes of making stupid. Any decision against the Word of God is a stupid decision. Right. See? So I watch people, and it's like we don't have good judgment. And we're lacking a foundation to make good, just judging decisions about our lives, about the scenarios of our lives, about the relationships of our lives, about how we're going to live our life. And then any decision that I make that's not founded according to the Word of God is a dangerous decision for me. If you would believe that, say amen. Right, amen. You're looking at me like, not nice. The least esteemed in the church ought to have the ability to do and know justice. So I'm asking you, does that describe you? Come back, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 8:16. Let me show you a description of these. There's three characteristics about that God gives about these people that he wants them to know as they are judging and being a person of interest here for just judgment. And the first thing he looks at is their integrity, the character that they have. Look at verse number 19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment or pervert judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift or a bribe. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert or twist the words of the righteous. Now God says, now when we set these judges and these officers up, and they're gonna lead in this just judgment, and they're gonna help that justice is really the theme of the land here, because I'm a just God. I want my people to be just. I want their behavior to be just and a righteousness there. And I understand we've got sinful behavior and humanity, and I understand that we need a directive here. So when you pick out these leaders, I want you to pick somebody who doesn't pervert judgment, doesn't twist judgment. I want somebody who understands my word, acts accordingly to my word. I don't want somebody who's biased. I don't want somebody who respects persons. I don't want somebody that exalts one person over another or does favors for somebody else. I want people to see the word of God. I want these people to care more about what I think than people think. I don't want these people to take a gift or a bribe, because a gift or a bribe will blind their eyes of the wise. And I don't want them to twist the words of the righteous. I don't want them to twist my word. I want these people to honor the word of God. If you're going to make just judging decisions in your life, you're going to have honor for the word of God. Amen. Amen. Integrity. He goes on in verse number 21. He says, not only do I want you to have the character of God, I want you to know the holiness of God. In verse 21, here's what he says. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. Don't make any idols. In verse 1 of 17, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now God says, now, if these judges and these officers, they're going to give just judgment. And so in order for them to know just judgment, then their integrity is at stake. Unjust men cannot give just judgment. So we want them to have as their epitome the word of God. We don't want them to take bribes. We don't want them to have favoritism. We don't want them to pervert judgment. We just want them to care what God thinks and not only God thinks. Now, these men got to be careful. And so he told them something very interesting. He said, now where God sets up this place of judgment, don't let these judges plant any groves nearby. Pastor, why could they not plant any trees? Because the land of Canaan, they worshiped a god called Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth will make me blush. So I got to be very careful here. What you would do to her, for her, for this God, is they would take these groves and they would take these trees and they would fashion them in a very sensual way. And they would put those things down, and then the women and the men would come and they would behave themselves, and that's how they would worship. And God said, don't put anything near where I'm going to allow you to judge. I don't want anything wicked and sinful like that, even within the vicinity of these. Why? Because God understands human nature. God understands that the temptation there. God understood. That's why he said abstain from anything that is evil. So where are you going with this, Pastor? Here's where I'm going with this. If I'm going to know just judgment in my life, then holiness is going to have to matter in my life. Every man in this room, please look me in my four eyes. There is no way, sir, that you as the leader of your home can lead justly if you let the enemy plant groves near your life. It's impossible. And so as a leader, I'm concerned with the environment that surrounds me. I'm concerned where I go. I'm concerned what I intake into my eyes, my ears. Where I'm concerned with what could be a temptation or a distraction. And God knew it. And God told them, don't let them build that thing near where you're going to judge. That's going to hurt you. And I would say to us men who are to be leaders, that the Bible verse, abstain from all appearance of evil, ought to ring in your ears like a melody. And I will say amen to my own point. Amen. Man, you can't lead justly if you're watching wickedness. You can't lead justly if you're entertaining that. Ladies, same thing goes for you. And God said, there's got to be a concern for holiness. Let me say this, and I want to be very careful because I don't want to dig my own grave tonight. Social injustice. We heard it everywhere on Sunday. Men are kneeling at the flag and all this stuff that's going on. Is there injustice in the world? Absolutely. Multiple types of injustice. But let's remember and have a biblical perspective here. Injustice does not come from the color of a man's skin. And injustice does not come from some class that you live in. Every injustice comes from the wicked, sinful heart of humanity. That's where injustice comes from. And you can try to control injustice and make it right by affecting the outward of humanity, but until you affect the heart, there can be no justness. It's the wicked human heart. So let's take the average Christian family. The average Christian family that loves the Lord and they sit in the pew and they want God to be honored in their home. I understand that. But if you don't guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. If you don't understand the attack that the enemy is trying to come in, if you entertain any authority other than the word of God authority, and if you don't remember the holiness of God and set yourself apart from that, unto that, then your judgment has the ability to be twisted and to be perverted. And perverted not in a wicked, sensual way, just perverted away from the authority of the word of God. God's way is perfect all the time. And this is what God says. God says, now I want justice in my land. I am just. I'm the justifier of men. And he's setting this up for the nation. The third thing he wanted for them was wisdom. If you look at wisdom in chapter 17, and you can go all the way down into verse number 8, and I'm running out of time there. He said, if there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment between blood and blood, that's a murder situation or a manslaughter situation, between plea and plea when both our parties have an argument with the law, or between stroke and stroke, you have an assault or some kind of physical violence, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise, get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt come unto the priest, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose thee show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand or to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and shall put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more what, class? Presumptuously. So God's saying, now listen, I need my judges to have the character of God. I need them to have a holiness of God and a heart and a love for God. But I also need them to have the wisdom of God. And it would be, as these people would have problems, they would come to this judge that was set up there, and God would give that judge wisdom. And it wasn't a court of appeals. This is where they would just pronounce the judgment, and those people would receive that. It takes wisdom to have judgment. You know, I think one of the greatest strengths that a Christian person can have is the understanding that you don't know everything. You don't know everything. We live like we do. We live like we don't need wisdom. But in reality, we need wisdom. I need wisdom on how to love my wife, how to love my children. I need wisdom on how to lead this church. I need wisdom on how to live my life. My wife needs wisdom. My children need wisdom. You need wisdom. And the Bible says if we lack wisdom, we can ask who? God. So if my life is going to know justice, and I'm going to know, be able to know just judgment, and I'm going to be able to be a person that has that ability, then I got to have integrity, the character of God. I've got to know holiness in my life. And I need the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. I'll conclude with this statement. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir tonight, being a Wednesday night deal, but I still want to make this statement. Best and safest and securest way for you to organize your home is to organize your home on the Word of God. My pastor heart just gets ripped out, man. And I'm just being dead honest with you. I don't know where it is in the Bible. I think it's the book of Hezekiah. But you can lead a horse to water. It's not in the Bible. Just can't make them drink. You can tell people. You just can't make them do it. The spiritually successful, joyful, powerful, God-loving, God-fearing, happy, average person is the person who makes every decision based on the Word of God. And justice develops in our life off of that. If you try to pervert or twist or go away from the Word of God in any capacity, you're going to regret that. And I don't want you to regret that. I don't want to regret that. I want to live a life that's obedient to the Lord. I want to have God's wisdom upon my life. I want to have God's justness in my life. And I want to be able to have just judgment as I think about my marriage. And I'm big on marriage now because I'm dealing with this a lot. As I think about how I'm rearing my children, I'm dealing with this. So I think about how I'm organizing my home in a financial way. So I'm thinking about the plans for my wife and I when our children are gone. Praise God. When I think about how I got to respond to you, I feel like as a pastor, I have a responsibility to know justice in my life for your sake. Because what kind of pastor would I be if you came to me and I was unjust? But you have that same responsibility in your life. Same responsibility. And God said, I'm a just God. I want to know justice in the life of my people. My character, my holiness, and my wisdom. Let that be a guide for those people. Let that be a guide for us. Amen. Let's pray.